Praise the Lord, saints. Amen. Praise the Lord, we can be in God's economy.
Amen.
Well, before we begin our time this afternoon, we'd like to ask if some of the saints could fill in the empty seats that are closer up. This room is very large, so to have a more intimate feel, it would be good if some saints could come and fill in this first row here, fill in the second row of this section, and the second row behind the brothers on the opposite side there. Amen. Well, we're very thankful that the Lord has given us another opportunity for us to come together with those in our age group to have some fellowship. And just to give some background about this burden for our age group, in this book, Messages Given to the Working Saints, Brother Lee refers to the working saints as the backbone of the church. He says, "The working saints are the backbone of the church. When a man has trouble with his backbone, his whole body is in trouble. The older folks are especially careful to protect their backbones. The backbone is a very important part of man's body. In the same way, the working saints are very important in the new way in the Lord's recovery." So just as our backbone is so crucial for our physical body in moving, in functioning, in carrying things out, so the working saints are also crucial to the body of Christ for moving, for functioning, and for carrying things out.
Amen.
And so about 8 years ago, the brothers really picked up this burden that the working saints, as the backbone, would grow in life, would be perfected, and would function organically in the church life so that the recovery could go on and that the body of Christ could be built up. As we were praying before this time, it came out in the prayer that we don't want the Lord to wait for another generation. We don't want to have to delay the Lord any longer for his return. Rather, we like to be the dispensational instrument that the Lord needs to return.
Amen.
So we hope that this time, this gathering would be one of mutuality, where in all of the testimonies, in all of the sharing, there would be the mutual fellowship and the mutual encouragement. In my own personal experience, I feel like as life goes on, life only gets busier, and we get pulled in many directions with our job, with our family, with the church life. And so we need the mutual encouragement, and we need the mutual inciting of one another to go on. And I really was touched by this portion later in the same chapter, in the section titled Meeting the Lord's Present Need. Brother Lee says, "In order to meet the Lord's present need, we must first recall our past experiences and vision.
Amen.
I believe all of you have had some experiences and some vision in the past. Now we have to recall them. Second, we have to respond to the Lord's attraction and calling. The fact that you are here today proves that the Lord has attracted you from within.
Amen.
In this attraction, there is a calling that calls us to meet the need of the Lord in the new way today.
Amen.
Third, we have to renew our past commitment and consecration. In the past, many of us have had a heart for the Lord and have consecrated ourselves to the Lord. Now we need to have these renewed." So may the Lord use our time together today to encourage all of us, to help us recall our past experiences and vision, to attract us afresh, and to help us renew our consecration to him and to his purpose.
Amen. Amen. So I just like to give a quick breakdown of the time. The time we have here is from 3 o'clock to 4:30. And in the first 45 minutes, we like to open up just to all the ones here. Doesn't matter who you are, what you whether you're a grad student, whether you're working, holding a job, whether you're a stay-at-home mom, if you just take care of the children at home. We encourage anyone to give a testimony of how in your respective localities you have experienced Christ. And just from my personal experience, it's whenever these times occur and the brothers made similar announcements, my first reaction is always, well, my life is kind of boring. Most of it is just filled with kind of mundane tasks, right? And sometimes maybe, well, Lord, I don't feel like I've been too victorious in the church life. But like Brian has shared, this is a time of mutual encouragement. And none of us are fully there yet. So, and we're all learning, and we all should have a spirit of learning. So, you just like to open up if the Lord has already put something within you to share with the saints, either a positive experience or even a negative one that you've learned from, please be encouraged to come up and share your experience. And I guess we can just begin right now. You can line up right here where I'm standing. And please, when you speak, give your name, the locality you're from, and try to keep it to two minutes per person to begin with. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I need to get my spirit and gear first.
Amen.
My wife and I, she's just right behind me. We've had kids, and we've been listening to many of, actually my wife's, most of the times I'm listening to a lot of the recent children's burden. Coming out of Irvine and coming out of actually all over the earth, many of them, my brother Tom, and we really acquired this particular burden of making our kids seeds of the gospel. We struggled for a long time about what do you mean by seeds of the gospel? Are you going to make them preach the gospel before they even got saved, or we were grasping for a long time. But just at least a basic appreciation there is there are a lot of things that we don't know, but we're endeavoring. And we're endeavoring because we need to endeavor, because to carry out God's economy is a matter of endeavoring. And but through the recent messages, we've been really helped to realize our kids need to see their parents caring for other people. And they need to be given the realization that it's good to have other people in their heart, not to have themselves in their heart. So, you know, we contact people in the community and, you know, we wouldn't say that we've gained anybody. We're endeavoring. But they have kids, and our kids are friends with their kids, and we're really praying that our kids would acquire a heart for these kids. Praise the Lord. Our kids are very young, and so we don't know what that means to give them that heart, but we just pray for this because we want our kids to be seeds of the gospel. Amen.
I've been appreciating Zechariah 4:10. It says, "Who has despised the day of small things?" And I'm a mother with four small children, all under the age of five, and my life is very chaotic and very interrupted. But recently, I've been enjoying having a spiritual pursuit that is full of small things. Before children, I had a very solid pursuit. I had solid times in the ministry, in the Word with the Lord. And now that I have children, all of that is the past because I don't have any solid time anywhere. But I've enjoyed just a few small things that I've realized had made a really big difference. So I just wanted to share some of them. One is that every morning I've been endeavoring to find my morning revival book and to place it somewhere where I can see it so that when I get a chance, I can grab it and read some of it. So often I put it on the dining room table, and when I'm trying to coax a little one to eat, I can have it there and be reading the verses or praying the verses. It's still very interrupted. I never get to read it all and underline it as I would like to, but I've realized that makes a really big difference. I've also started subscribing to eManna. So somehow I always have time to check my email. So when I do that, I have been practicing to open my eManna first. And maybe I don't read it all, but at least read the verses, pray something, get into it just a little bit, depending on my time. And that also has made a difference. Another thing is my husband and I bought a good Bluetooth speaker, and as he said, I can blare it above the children and above the cooking noises, and I've been able to listen to tons. And again, it's not uninterrupted. I'm drawn away taking care of things, but I just have it playing when I'm cooking, and I have it playing when I'm doing laundry or folding laundry. And I've gotten through a lot that way. So it seems like it's small, but the little bit I get from that's been a big help. And then the last thing was endeavoring to open my home. Really quick, before children, I would not open my home unless it was clean and orderly. And we did open it because our home was usually clean and orderly. But now my home looks like a tornado has hit it, and the saints will all testify to that. But we are endeavoring just to open it. So when the saints come, I say, welcome to the chaos, and be careful, and they have to step over things. But we have an open home. And as a mother, that makes me still feel a very vital part of the church life. I can't be in the structured meetings that much anymore, but I see the saints every day because they're in my home. So I want to encourage all the moms, don't despise a day of small things.
Amen. Amen. Along the same lines, I'm not sure which young adults fellowship, I think it was the last one, a new dad said he would leave his newborn in the car seat and call someone for 3 minutes. And it inspired me so much. So I have a toddler, and I'm also in grad school, and it's crazy. So that testimony really encouraged me. And so Tammy and I and a bunch of other moms, we barely get to see each other. And so we decided that we will call each other once a week. And since I'm the grad student and I'm always scheduled, and my phone will ding me and I'll call the sister every week, and I'll remind the whole group to call each other once a week. Anyways, so that's a small thing, but I just realized if you're desperate, if we have 5 minutes to check your email, then I surely have 2 minutes to call someone and touch my spirit. And I just wanted to echo something that was shared this morning. If we look at ourselves, then we cannot even be here. But we are here because there's a vision, right? And so we are here. Sorry, I don't know why I'm crying. It's useless. Once you become a mom, you end up crying all the time. So, anyways, we're here because we see a vision, and we're here speaking in spite of who we are to become this vision.
Amen. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Okay, so my name is Matt, and I'm from Champaign, and just like the rest of them. So it's been about less than a year since I graduated the full-time training. And the next step was to pay off my loans, and so it was by the Lord's sovereignty just that I was able to get just a part-time job at the beginning, but this past month it's has increased to a full-time job, during the time when I was part-time working, it was really really enjoyable because I was able to participate with the serving team. In the mornings and have appointments with the students. And also one of the things was useful in my pursuit of the Lord was just even the full-time is visiting me at my office. And but now it's like really, it's really different working full-time now. Like, I don't have time for much at all. But I was really just encouraged when just like, just praying over the phone during my break with a full-timer, or even reading the ministry. And one of the brothers, he was sharing his experience of how to, or like what he does after he eats lunch, because usually he gets tired after he eats lunch. And so he learned to just to walk around the building, just praying. And I've been practicing this, and it's been really helpful for me just to touch the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Just a quick reminder, saints, when you come up, mention your name and your locality. Thank you.
Amen. My name is William. I'm from the church in Riverside, California. I just wanted to share with you, saints, that it's never too late to go to the training. And we hear this all the time. You know, some of us that have been born in the church, we hear, oh, go to the training. Actually, I never went to the full-time training. But I recently enrolled in the full-time training online, and I've really, really been enjoying it.
Amen.
I encourage you, if you have 10 hours a week, or even if you don't, make 10 hours a week. It is so enjoyable. They're 8 weeks long, and you get into the same classes that are at the trainees get into, and they're really, really, really enjoyable. I really encourage you to do it. After I graduated college, I didn't go to the training. I'm sure there's some here that didn't go to the training, and sometimes we feel like, oh, if we didn't go to the training, then you know we don't know how to serve the right way. But like you know, that's not true. I'm from Riverside, California. There's trainees everywhere. And there's teams going to all these campuses, and some people ask me, you know, I'm in that age group, and they say, oh, you didn't go to the training? No, I didn't go to the training. I said, well, you look like you went to the training. You seem like you went to the training. You act like you went to the training. No, I never went to the training. But just because we don't go to the training, some of us don't get that opportunity. Go if you can. But we're all full-time.
Amen.
We're all in a training.
Amen.
Our life is a training.
Amen.
So if you do get a chance, go to the online training. But just remember that, you know, we're all full-time.
Amen.
There's no such thing as being a part-time Christian.
Amen.
You know, being in the priesthood, our full-time job is to be a priest serving the Lord full-time.
Amen.
I'm Joyce Lutz from Chicago, and I asked my spiritual companion,
Diane Fausto from Indianapolis.
I just wanted to share something we've been enjoying. We've been going through prayer reading the message outlines together during lunch. And it was during one of these times of gatherings that I was so helped by many of the testimonies shared, and especially touched by many of the working saints who talk about how they use their lunch hour to pursue the Lord in some way. Mm-hmm. And during the conference, Diane really shepherded me by saying we could have 15-minute phone appointments during lunch once a week to get into the conference outlines and the verses and just pray read a few points every week until we got through them all. And these times were just so supplying and enjoyable to me. This really, really encouraged me because as a working one, I often feel like my schedule is so inflexible or limited as it is, but I was still looking to the Lord for a way to have a sustainable time to pursue the truth in a deeper way, in a regular way. And so sometimes we might skip a week, or it's even been a while since we've been very regular, but I was just encouraged again that it's so helpful to be accountable to one another. And I work in a queue, but I would go to a conference room and Diane would go to her car, but for 15 minutes to be able to pray with someone concerning God's economy at work has always been just so enjoyable, so energizing, and a real blessing. So
Amen.
Thank the Lord he's bringing us on and giving us ones to be accountable to.
Amen. Hi Saints, my name is Benjamin Chang. I meet in church in LA, and behind me is, would you like to introduce yourself? Okay. Behind me is Tina. She meets in church in Boston. We're getting married next month. So a little bit of our experience in the Lord lately has been regarding the whole courting process. I won't go into the details, but what's been the richest and I feel like the most revealing to the Lord has really been in light of these recent summer-winter trainings on Exodus. And it's been such a big help, and it's been what's kept me in the church life, is seeing that the Lord wants to gain complete and fully equipped workers for him, and that this isn't just limited to spiritual giants. He wants to do this kind of work in every one of us, and so especially this matter of how the Lord called Moses he performed three miracles in Moses' eyes, and one of them was he called Moses to throw down his staff. And those of you who've read the life study, we all know it represents anything or person, any earthly thing we depend on. It could be our career, our finances, our relationships. And in that sense, the Lord has been shining so intensely. And I just want to give a short testimony to illustrate how this really needs to all become our experience. We all need to let go of that thing we depend on the most. It could not even be a good or bad thing, but anything earthly thing can be a place where Satan, that snake, can be hidden. And if we don't grab that, if we don't throw it down first and let the Lord expose that, grab it by the tail, then that thing could very easily bite us. It could drug us. It could cause us to be completely just
just paralyzed. And that's really the extent of my experience with the world, is serving full time, but still, you know, living in this world that we're in this day and age, it's so easy to be drugged by the world system. Even, amen. So praise the Lord, you know. Thank the Lord for just, he's bringing us on, dealing with these idols one by one, so we can be complete, qualified, and equipped workers for him.
Amen.
Amen, saints. My name is Ryan Pester. I'm in the church in Anaheim. I've been serving for a few years. And I just wanted to give you a little encouraging report. Last weekend, we had a young adults conference for the young adults in the churches in Anaheim, Cypress, and Orange. And the topic of the conference was the recovery of the priesthood for God's building. And during that time, we had some brothers from the churches come and share some of the messages from the conference, from the ITERO conference, and also the last message of the semi-annual training on Exodus. And I was just encouraged that the priesthood is something that we all, even as young adults, we should be entering into. And in Exodus, the Lord told Moses on the mountain after he had brought the children of Israel out, he said, "You shall be to me a kingdom of priests." And his desire was that we would all be priests. And I just appreciated seeing again what the real meaning of a priest is. It's not somebody who does something, but the brothers shared, to be a priest is not to do something, but it's to stop and to come to the Lord and be filled with the Lord.
Amen.
And the real meaning of a priest, you can see when you look at the picture of the priest in the Old Testament, was that they were ones who, right, they, in comparison to the children of Israel who lived off of the manna, the priests lived off of all the offerings, right? And they also wore the priestly garments, and they lived in the tabernacle. So everything that they ate, they wore, and their dwelling place was just a picture of Christ. Christ was the reality of all these things. And anyway, this time with all the young adults, I think it was a real encouragement to all of us that we in the Lord's recovery, even we as the young adults, we need to enter into this kind of priesthood.
Amen.
We need to be those who are spending time with the Lord day by day.
Amen.
To be filled with him so that we could supply and minister to him for the building up of his body.
Amen.
Oh, Jesus. My name is Sandra. I'm in the church in Austin currently. I've been helped with this kind of fellowship during the last 4 or 5 years. I just finished a residency program. I'm an internal medicine doctor, so I finished internal medicine residency in New York. It was very hard, as probably you know, not only because of residency, but also because of New York. And but everything started when I decided to move out of New York. So the saints were praying a lot about where to be located. And one thing was very important was the fellowship about to go to a city where I can be part of the church life, but also the church life can be part of my life. And I'm still struggling because being a doctor is not easy. There's still the fight of, like, I want to do more. I want to stay, have more fellowship with the saints. But at the same time, I don't have time. And it's something that I need to realize. I don't have time. But at the same time, I was just open for a sister to call me at 5:30 in the morning just to read the ministry. And we were reading for half an hour until 6 a.m. It was amazing. And then the Lord gave me a friend of mine, a co-worker in New York, who was suddenly open for the gospel. So we started reading the life study from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. So far, that's such a salvation. And because after that, the day starts, and I don't know, I just realized that the day is gone at around 10 p.m. So one thing that I feel that was my salvation, and it's still my salvation, is to have companions and to be open for other saints, other sisters. Amen.
My name is Michael Lee from the church in Wycliffe, Ohio. And I moved to Cleveland about a year and a half ago. Before that, I was always open to the Lord for migration. But through work, I ended up being in Cleveland for work. And I just had a feeling when I moved to be open to the Lord and to the saints. So I sort of availed myself to the saints in terms of service and things like that. That actually helped a lot in the sense that because it's a smaller church, like roughly 40 saints, you know, there was always a need somewhere. And so that allowed me to just kind of jump into the church life, into the middle of it all with a lot of services. And, you know, as our age group, we're kind of we're the backbone of the church life. So for the backbone, really, whenever the church has some move or direction, we're the ones that are firstly stretched. You know what I mean? The saints need us, need our portion, our services. And you know, I definitely feel that stretching now, being in the church life for over a year. But also as backbone, you know, we need to be very well connected for the spine or the muscles. If something is off or something's injured, you know, that definitely affects the church life. So the Lord's been good. I do have a brother, actually he's here today, as a companion. And we practiced this starting last summer to just get together after work once a week to eat and some fellowship, pray. Sometimes we'll read the ministry together. And we kind of stopped towards the winter time, maybe because of the weather and whatnot. And that actually made a big difference. I noticed it, you know, spiritually when we stopped. You know, we were able to resume that again. But, you know, in Wycliffe, it's a GTCA city. So because of so many things going on and the shepherding and the needs, definitely being connected with another brother just to pray really, you know, allows us all to go on to be built up in church life.
Amen.
My name is Allison McNichol, and we're from Fairborn, Ohio, in the church there. And I feel like, I think Gretzi said earlier that if I look at myself, I disqualify myself from being in the church life. And this past year has been particularly a struggle for me in that area, I think, because I've been in grad school. I've been a new mom. My son is 16 months now. And I've also been working in grad school to pay my way through. But my husband reminded me that we've been endeavoring to just help each other to have time with the Lord in the morning. And I think that's kind of like the other sister who just shared about having time in the morning. That really helps to start off the day with the Lord, even if it seems like the rest of the day just goes by. And then in the evening time, right when it's like time for me to go to bed, I think about, oh, Lord, what about spending time with you? So I really appreciate just my companion, who's always with me and helping me, my husband, and just being able to support each other in that way.
Amen. Yeah, just to follow where she left off and kind of the details of what that looks like and spending time with the Lord in the morning. By the way, my name's Ryan, also from Fairborn. And, you know, we just try to allot each other a period of time where one of us just kind of goes off by ourselves and the other one is with our son, Matthew. Just, you know, set a stopwatch, whatever, just to go be with the Lord. Knowing about how much time we have and try to divide it into something before our day starts, try to divide that time into half, one half for her and half for me before we actually do anything, just to be with the Lord.
Amen.
And that's been very helpful, especially, you know, like when some of the brothers mentioned that, you know, it's a busy time in our lives. We're not as busy as Billy and Tammy are, but we do are recognizing the value of, you know, getting some time with the Lord. And the little things, the small things, I really appreciate what she said, that don't despise the day of small things. Another little thing we try to practice is every night one of us will read a chapter or two from wherever we're at in the Bible to one another. You know, faith comes through hearing through the word of Christ. you know, we just get a little bit of sprinkling every day, both in the morning and at night. It's really helpful. Amen.
Hi, Saints. My name is Marin. I'm from the church in Richland. I want to testify about migrating. I have fellowship with the Saints. I used to be in Houston, Texas, and I was very open to move as a job-holding Saints, and I have my preference, and one of the things was I don't want to go somewhere it's cold, because I don't like cold, personally. And I have picked some place I went to visit, but I did not have the inner peace. Is it really what I want? Is it really where the Lord want me to go? And I remember being in a home meeting, reading the experience of life. There were four things the brother said you have to consider. One is you have to be in prayer. Another is in the scripture. The other one is the environment. You don't have to force it. The Lord just make it happen. And the fourth one is you have to fellowship with the saints. You have to do, you know, fellowship with the body. You just don't pick a place and just go. And they've been praying, and I've been praying, and the Lord brought a situation for Richland, Washington State. And I had pretty much have a week to accept the position with another part of the same company to move. And I was like, Lord Jesus, how cold is that going to be? And, you know, sinks each snow or something. I wasn't aware. I just showed up. And going from a big church life in Houston, Texas, to a Richland, which is about 40 cents, about four cities combined, more than half of them are kids. I'm like, Lord Jesus, well, if this is your will, amen. And I'll tell you, our home is really where the church life is.
Amen.
It really doesn't matter what city. If it's a farm or a big city, it really doesn't matter. And I can testify that I'm more a functioning member now that I'm in a smaller city, because I cannot hide anymore. If you're serving, you better show up, because there's nobody to cover it. And I showed up and say, I can serve with the kids, because that's I have experience in Houston. And they say, well, the need is with the high school girls. And I was like, okay, what do I do with them? Just hang out with them, get to know them. And I was fellowship with a sister, and I'm like, I get these high school kids once a week, and I have no idea what to do with them. She's like, it's okay, sister. The Lord will perfect us, but it doesn't mean we stop serving until we get to that point. He will cover it. So I would encourage everybody who's open to migrate, just pray about it and just go. The Lord will take care of everything.
Amen.
Amen.
Hi, Saints. I'm from a church in Wycliffe, Ohio. I live in Erie, Pennsylvania. And I just graduated last 2014 May. And that time I was in Washington, D.C., and went to the California in a church in Monterey Park for a while, for half a year, and migrated to the Erie, still very cold. So at that time, it was the lesson I learned during this transition from a student to a worker is the consecration and never be alone. So when I received the first paycheck, I just kneeled down to the Lord in the office that I don't know what to do for the coming life as a worker and to work for a company. Because I was a student, I was living in a church life, has a lot of brothers and sisters taking care of us. And that time I kneeled down to praise the Lord, how I spend that what I learned, what I earned, just teach me how to consecrate my everything to you. And he really did, in a very special way. And another thing I learned is never be alone. Because in Erie, there's no, that during the time that I went to Erie, there's no saint there. So it's really hard. But it's good news that the church in Wycliffe and the church in Pittsburgh and Buffalo, and just take 2 hours driving. So I went there every weekend, and it's good to be with the saints. Amen. During that time, you feel that you're not alone. You connect to the body.
Amen.
And you received Christ.
Amen.
It's better to stay in the body.
Amen.
Amen. And then, Lord, when you consecrate him and you know you learn something, Lord will bring you to. And later, 1 month later, we have two family from Pentecostal church and just get out and join us, Lots of Recovery, and they read a lot. So two family from the Ukrainian, and we really have very sweet fellowship. Mm-hmm. And the saints from Buffalo, Pittsburgh, and Elyria, Mansfield, and Wycliffe all joined us and support us and make the schedule how to support us. It's very sweet fellowship with the body.
Amen.
My name is Stephen Bernier, and this is my wife, Crystal Bernier, and we're from the church in Indianapolis. And I've been a beneficiary of this fellowship time for the last number of years, listening to it online, even though I couldn't be in the meetings present. So I just felt it's maybe my time to share some of my experience since I've been enjoying the testimonies of the saints. So I have 2 points. One point is just listening to the ministry. I travel, quite a bit. The first year we were in Indianapolis, I was traveling about 66 miles one way to work, and so I had quite a bit of time, and so I downloaded quite a bit of many of the messages that were coming out from the feasts and from the conferences, and I would just listen to those messages, and I just have to testify that's really a supply and an encouragement, and even though I can't read a lot of the life study messages because of my time, I just felt like listening to those messages and praying them back as I was driving was really an enriching and a strengthening. So I'd encourage you to listen, even if you can't be in the conferences. And then the second point, we moved from Southern California about 6 years ago to Huntsville, Texas, which was a smaller church life. And then we were there for about 3.5 years, and then we moved to Indianapolis about 2.5 years ago. And just being led by the Lord related to jobs, but also to be, to be strengthening the churches in the Midwest area. For about 2.5 years, my wife and I, we have 2 small kids, and we've been waiting for others to join us, other couples with kids, and it really hasn't happened. So recently, in the last couple months, I just had a burden. We need to go, We need to go to blend with some churches. We went to Fairborn a few weeks ago, and we had a conference in Cleveland area. So I just felt like, not waiting for the Lord to do something, but just go blend. Just go join yourselves to some other, younger couples or couples with kids, and there's really the blessing and the fellowship and the blending there.
Amen. The Lord reminded me recently when I finished the training, Brother Minoru had a time with a fourth term sister specifically and told us all, when you get married and start having children, he kind of commissioned us to keep ourselves in the center of the church life. So now that I'm in that position, I can see how easy it would be to disappear. And I use my children as an excuse a lot in my personal life, to keep me from not coming to the Lord in a consistent way in the mornings. I'm too tired. It's chaotic, distracting. But lately, I've really been endeavoring to come back just to the simple life practices and really make time during the day to call on the Lord, to pray, Amen. Read the Word, to really get into it, chew it a little bit. And the kids have been asking me, what does it mean to call on the Lord? Why are you calling on the Lord? And it subdues the atmosphere a little bit too. And then just to touch a little bit about us going to Fairborn, we've talked about it for months and months. And again, it's easy to use the kids as an excuse, to not go. How are they going to sleep? What are the sleeping arrangements going to be? Anyway, and of course, my daughter got the stomach flu before we went. And for the first time, there was a fight in me. I felt very clearly this is the enemy rising up to keep us from going. We finally were going to go. So we pushed through. We sacrificed. We went. She got sick on the basement steps of where we stayed. It was awful, but they were very accommodating. And then we found out when we were there, they actually had an incident that week, and they almost wished that we wouldn't come. So we felt like the enemy was rising up on both sides. But because we sacrificed a little bit, the blessing was really there. Amen. We had some sweet fellowship, some good prayer, some time in the Word. So anyway, I'm just encouraged. We need to sacrifice a little bit, sacrifice ourselves, sacrifice our kids, and pay the price. The blessing will be there to avail ourselves, to blend, and to be in the up-to-date speaking.
Amen.
Hello, Saints. My name is Ross Skinner. I'm from the church in Irvine, California. I think one of the things that's kind of on my hearts is time, as we keep speaking about. Being single, that's kind of my thing out, but I do work about 55 hours average per week. And one of the things that I've really benefited from is I have 2 companions. One I pray with every morning on the way to work, and one I pray with 2 to 3 times on the way home from work. It's about a half an hour drive each way, but we can pray together for about 10 minutes, and it's really been a blessing. Also, another thing, too, that I've been able to enjoy is I have an older gentleman in our meeting hall that we go through once a week and we read a book, and on our own we read one chapter, and then we spend about an hour time once a week just discussing it. And although we do talk about, you know, the lack of time, it's really been an enjoyment, and it gives you so much energy because, you know, we say we don't have time, but that's because we don't have time for things that we want to do. But when you're enjoying something with somebody else and it becomes a consistent basis and you're going through the same thing, not just random things like a Bible roulette, you will enjoy it a lot more. And it really will give you energy, just like if you attend the Tuesday night prayer meetings or things like that. So I really want to encourage people that although we say we don't have a lot of time, there is time for us to enjoy the Lord, and it will give you so much more energy, and it increases your overall joy and satisfaction in life, as well as really benefit you in your workplace. So praise God.
My name is John Lin from Normal, Illinois. And just one thing that's been on my heart recently is really this matter of the priesthood and how all of us have to be in this priesthood, actively in this priesthood. And what does that mean? Mainly, it means for us to be saturated and soaked with God, right? It's not a matter of serving and doing things for God, but really spending that time to be filled with the Lord. And one brother shared at a recent meeting that actually there's nothing in our natural man that will allow us to have a personal time in the Lord, especially in the morning. There's nothing in our natural man that will do that. Actually, it's impossible for our natural man to do it. So then my question is, you know, then what do we do, right? If it's impossible, then what do we do? And I can't say that I found the secret or have been very overcoming, but two things that I've realized. One is, first, we need to pray, right? We need to pray for ourselves, you know, pray for those around us, pray for, you know, my spouse, for... We just pray for one another that we would fight for this time in the morning that we'd spend to absorb the Lord, to contact the Lord, to be possessed by the Lord. And the second thing, something simple, is just we need to call on the Lord more. You know, the first thing we do when we wake up in the morning, we can call, Lord Jesus. You know, when we're brushing our teeth, we can call, oh, Lord Jesus. And even the small things, you know, the small life practices, we're able to allow the Lord, give the Lord the room to really work himself into us.
Amen. Hi, I'm Brother Buddy from St. Louis, and you know, this week I realized that the Lord in every situation seems to want to add himself into me in every single environment, and he just wants me to be open to that situation, no matter what it is, no matter how many things you're juggling, you know, four or five things, how am I going to do this, how am I going to handle this? Oh, there's a brother coming from Anaheim, he liked some hospitality. Oh, how am I going to handle that? Don't worry about it. You know, the thing is, you know, hospitable. But he added, you know, 2 days with that brother, he added so much grace, you know, so much Christ to me, and was able to be open. The Lord, right before that, was able to put me into a situation where I was a little, you know, I needed a little digging out in my heart. So that little part of my heart got moved, and that brother's, you know, sent life into it. Praise the Lord, you know, he just knows our situation. He knows what we need, how to be adjusted and add himself to us.
Amen. Stand here. Okay. Praise the Lord, saints. My name is Jim Miller. I'm from the church in San Francisco, and I know a number of you all recognize you anyway. I'd like to just share for a few minutes about my own, my own experience, because we're sharing a lot of our experiences. I was saved and brought into the Lord's recovery when I was 22, and I'm not 22 anymore. It's been a while, been a long time. And in that time, I've passed through a student life, a brother's house life, a married life, married with children life, busy businesses, and... bearing a lot of responsibility in the church and in the churches where I've been. And there's a verse in Galatians chapter 6 where Paul begins by saying, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. If he sows under the Spirit, he'll reap eternal life. So under the flesh you reap corruption. And I would just say that that's been a verse or something of the Lord speaking in me for many years. And I can testify how faithful the Lord is. I mean, this is a principle. If you sow with a view, if you live with a view to gaining something in the flesh, you reap corruption. But if you sow, if you live, that is, if you direct your life with a view to gaining something in the spirit, you reap eternal life. Amen. Both in yourself and in those who are around you and in those who you serve in the church life, in the Lord's recovery. But sowing is not something that has a quick result. Agriculture is a very slow process, right? Even if you're in the business of fruit orchards and things like that, you may have 4 or 5 years before you can eat off of your tree, right? There's not much of an immediate gain. But I think in my experience, and passing through your where many of you are, you know, students and married and children. Now I'm a grandpa. And I'm enjoying the cream of the human life. You know, that's what grandpas are, you know. It's just great, you know. I told my daughter one time, I said, you know, nobody plants a tree for the shade, right? You plant a tree for the fruit, right? She didn't like that, right? And I probably shouldn't have been quite so frank, but anyway. You know, there's a human life, there's a human side to our enjoyment, but I can just testify to the faithfulness of the Lord. And then thank the Lord that he's put us in the church life. Amen. Where we're nothing but encouraged to sow, to live with a direction toward the Spirit. Amen. toward the Lord's purpose. And not to gaining material, psychological, fleshy benefit. And of course, that takes a word that most of us don't like to hear. We don't like to hear sacrifice. And what does sacrifice mean? It really just means you don't do, you don't live, you don't choose what it is you prefer, but you choose and you live, and even you habitually give yourself to sow your living to the Spirit, to the Lord, and to his purpose. So I of course, all those years for me were lived in the church life, and I really can say I don't have a shred. I can't think of anything that I would regret in choosing to go the way I did and continuing to go this way for as long as the Lord will give me. But maybe one little practical thing that I would like to talk about, and that is the busyness of the family life with children. And how children are affected by the church life. In the early years in the Lord's recovery, the corporate meetings of the church were numerous and frequent. 4 or 5 nights a week we would meet corporately, sometimes 6. Not in our homes, but in the hall. And that was the focal point of our church life. It was a busy life, but we had 3 children and about 6 years, 3 children. And our children, they didn't spend too many nights at home in their bed for the first part of the evening. We'd pack them up into the car and put them into the seat, and we brothers in those days, we had a really pretty handy little playpen. We called it our cross. We'd pick up our cross, put it in the back seat of the car, and then drive half an hour to a saint's family that we were babysitting with, and then drive back another half hour to the meeting hall, and then go back and get them after the meeting, and then go home. Made for a long night, right? But, you know, our children, you could say, well, they were kind of sacrificed, you know, and and we sacrifice. But really, my kids grew up church life kids. They didn't like to stay at home. They didn't need to stay at home. They were blended together with three or four other families in the church life. And so if the sister would be the one to stay home with children, then my wife would miss one meeting a week, and she would make four. And of course, when the children all came to her house, it was quite a lively scene, right? But there were enough age variation in the bunch to distribute the labor a little bit, right? And they all had they're very close to these children they grew up with, and they've been there as an aid to them spiritually and vice versa. So the church life is a busy life, but it's not a loss to anyone who's involved in it. Another thing I would say, and I know my wife was a very big part of my being able to spend as much time as I did in the church life. And one thing that she did with my children, which was very helpful to them. Of course, all children like to have their parents, both of them, at home. And the families benefited by that. But my wife learned very early on, when my children would say, "Where's Daddy? Where's Daddy?" She would tell them in a very gentle way, "Daddy serves the Lord. Daddy's taking care of important things." And in telling them that, she let them know that she was perfectly fine with Daddy being gone. It wasn't a problem with her. So eventually, it wasn't a problem with my kids. I was, in my extended family, I was what I'd call the invisible uncle. You know, we'd get together for family gatherings, and there would be 11 or 12 cousins, and plus the parents who bore all those cousins, and grandpa and grandma. You know, and they would always eat dinner on Saturday night, and that was the night we had the young people's meeting. And so I was just out of habit. I mean, I was just fed early. And I would eat, and I would be gone. And it was kind of the family, extended family joke. You know, if I showed up, I was, "Whoa, what are you doing here?" Right? But my point is, in our family, my wife's attitude toward my absence in serving in the church life, I had a business. I wasn't serving full-time. I was very involved in business, and I was very involved in the church. And her ability to explain it to the children in a way that did not sour them or did not leave them unhappy was very wise. So I just say that there's a lot of young families here. It's how you manage it, and it's what your view is. So in the church life, our children were, you know, every once in a while they'd have a hard time with somebody. But the church life to them was their living. The church life to them was their, where they were going with us in their early years. And today, it's their living by the Lord's mercy, right? So I'd just like to share that as a practical experience that I've had. I thank the Lord also that in these days, where I'm from, we've been having some special time to focus on this age group in the church life, and to emphasize very much that, you know, we tell the young people, "You're the future of the Lord's recovery." But you saints are the present. You are the saints who even in the Old Testament order of things, should bear the greatest burden in the carrying out of the church life. The backbone's an illustration that's used often for you guys. Also, you know, I injured my shoulder a while back, had surgery, and I had to go to physical therapy. And my physical therapist would always say, we've got to build up your core, Mr. Miller. And I would say, what's my core, first of all, right? She said, well, it's your abdominal muscles and the strength from, you know, the center of your being out. And I said, well, what's that? I don't need to, you know, I'm a little big around here, but, you know, it's my shoulder. Didn't they tell you? You know, I got a shoulder problem, right? And she goes, well, listen, if your core is weak, all your members are weakened. If your core is soft, not strong, your whole body is affected by that. And this is really true in the church life. In fact, we've been realizing that, of course, in the church life, for the church to grow and to prosper and to increase and spread, there needs to be a proper leadership in the church life, right? There also need to be and should be full-timers in the church life, and many of you are serving full-time. But just as in our body, the strength of our body is in its center, in its core, so in the church life, the living and the service of your age, you know, in the numbers, it's 30 to 50 is the age of the priestly service in bearing the testimony of the tabernacle, right? The strength in that age group will determine the effectiveness of the labor for increase and spread, as well as support the leadership, the headship of Christ in the body. So maybe sometimes you think that it's just, boy, we're getting to be the age now where everything comes to us, right? Where everything's, we got to do all this stuff, right? Well, it's much more than that. And I thank the Lord for your testimonies that you spend, your desire to spend time with the Lord and also to spend time in the ministry. Oh, saints, you know, the more we enter into these things we're receiving, the richer we are. I'm just awestruck at what the Lord continually unfolds to us. Month after month, and week after week, and year after year. So if we enter into these things, and if we place ourselves in the Lord's hands in the church where we are, we will be most blessed. Right? We'll enjoy the Lord's supply. We will be blended and built up with others, and the Lord will have a very solid testimony spreading. Not just spreading, but the spreading of his testimony, of his one body. So I'd just like to share that all with you. Praise the Lord.
Well, it's so good to be together with you all. My name is Tom Getz. I'm from the church in Irvine, California. And since I heard about this meeting, and of course I've known these meetings have been going on for a number of years, whenever we have the conferences, and I feel that's very, very good. But this time, the brothers asked me if I could join, and I just have felt so, it's almost like my heart is on fire about this time. And I hope that whatever I would like to open up to you will be come out in a kind of proper, coherent way. But I would like to start like this. Last night in the message, I don't know if you caught it, but Brother Ed began by sharing that this general subject, the need for a new revival, was a series of a conference that was given in 1999, 16 years ago, probably not exactly the same messages, outlines, but this burden was released through the ministry into the churches. But the feeling was that it didn't get through. It was not received. And so the question within me was a kind of a desperate feeling, Lord, will you get through this time? Will this time be the time when this kind of word will penetrate your recovery? And coming to this meeting today, I had this realization, it depends on you. It depends on this group, this age, this core of the churches, whether things break through or not. And even this morning, you know, weren't you touched this morning as Brother James was laboring on this word reaching and this need for us to be those that are really pursuing and reaching to attain to the high peak of the divine revelation. Well, you know, this is just kind of an introductory word. I just feel that we are in an unprecedented time. Looking at the world situation, the chaos that's existing everywhere, and the need in the churches for the overcomers to be raised up, for the bride to be prepared, for what is even being released in these days to be received by us, seen by us, and practiced by us, is more desperate than ever before. And it seems to me that there is a call going out. There is a call going out, and this is a call to overcomers. We know the Bible ends with a call to overcomers. And we might disqualify ourselves and say, well, look at me, Lord. There's no way. I mean, I got 4 kids. I got a house that's a mess. I'm not qualified. I couldn't be. But that's not the way to answer the call. The call is, Lord, whatever it takes, whatever way you have, fully work on me. Do what you must do in me in these days, in these situations, that I could be one of those overcomers to become the corporate God-men to end this age. There's a line in one of our booklets that I have the opportunity to refer to from time to time. It says something like this: if the Lord delays his coming back for 5, 10, 15, or 20 years, and he wants to accomplish something, this commission must be entrusted to the young people. We might think, oh, well, young people, the teenagers. Actually, when Brother Lee spoke that, he did not have that in his mind. You're the young people. And I especially like these two words, this commission. What's the commission? What is the vision of this age and what is the ministry of this age? It surely is what we're hearing these days in these messages. And this needs to become a commission to our generation. It needs to land squarely upon our shoulders, so that we feel the responsibility before God that it would be worked out in our time. That not another generation would need to be raised up, but that we would be the ones. We would be the ones. And I believe that this is a prayer. This is not some excitement. I have no desire for any kind of excitement. I don't. I know how this works. This is a prayer that takes place by you in your private room with the door shut, where it's all laid out. It's all just poured out. And we have to receive this commission from the Lord. It needs to be entrusted. Some years ago, I was helping some brothers move, and we were moving a piano, and pianos are very, very heavy. I don't know if you've ever had the pleasure of trying to move a piano, but there was like 6 of us, and the brothers were all the way around this piano, and I was on one end, and we were ready, lift, you know, and look around, you got it, you got it, and the brother in the middle, he's just standing there like this, and the ones on the end were holding the whole thing up, and he said, you got it? And he goes, yeah, I got it, and he's just, I mean, he could have moved his hands away, and it would have... You know, he was not doing anything. He was just standing there. Well, anyway, my point is, don't just stand there. Get under it. If there was some way that I knew how to pass on the commission of the Lord's recovery to the young generation, oh, I feel now is the time. Never has there been such a group as you are that have been prepared from your birth for this moment. And to let the days slip by and let the years click off. And then to get too busy, too entangled, too crazy with all the things that are happening. Marriage and kids and you know all the things. I know. But we have to reserve our capacity for the Lord's interest and for his move. He's walking by. He's passing by. And we have to ask him, Lord, don't pass me by. Don't let others take my place. This is my portion. I was raised for this. I grew up for this. And I just to follow Jim, I came into the church life 45 years ago as a teenager. I thoroughly and completely expected that the Lord would come back long before now. Even while I was young, it was the commission that we had received was to bring the Lord back. I still feel that commission. But I'm not sure how much longer the Lord will delay, nor how much longer my journey will be. But how I wish, how I long that I could be on the earth at the time when the Lord comes back. This has been a commission that has been certainly on our shoulders for many, many years. And if there was certainly a way that we could pass on this kind of feeling, this kind of sense of responsibility to the Lord and to the Lord's recovery, we would surely would do that. Much grace to you all. Amen.
Okay, a few weeks ago, I was talking to a brother who's the CEO and the chairman of a big, huge hotel. And he always wants so much to be a co-worker. And he wants to be a full-timer. He said, my job is killing me. And I wish I could be free from it. I pointed my finger at his nose. I said, brother, don't ever think that way. You be an overcomer right where you are. Right where you are right now. And that's what the Lord wants us to be overcomers, not in the place up in the mountain, in the monastery, or a grace garden for that matter. No, it's the Lord wants us to be the overcomers right where we are. Okay, I want to share with you two things, or maybe three, if I have the time. And those were the things that I charge the full-time graduates when they get out. Because I see them for 2 years in this controlled environment, and then suddenly they have to get out of this controlled environment to get into an environment that is extremely challenging. Challenging mainly because of this, I tell you. Because the full-time training is a wonderful place, and if you have never been to the full-time training yet, do come. But that is a place where for 2 years you get all the decision-making stripped off from you and you don't make any decision. You won't have that in your life again. And that's wonderful because you don't have to make any decision. Every decision from the time you get up in the morning until the time you go to bed on what you do every single day and every moment and every hour, it's all decided for you. Well, suddenly you get fresh out into an environment where you make every single decision. And that can be quite an adjustment. So here's the thing. I have an iPhone. And the iPhone can do all kinds of wonderful things. But it doesn't work if you don't have the apps. So you have all the wonderful truth in the Lord's recovery. But it's like an iPhone. So I'm going to give you two or three apps. I have about 30 or 50 in my drawer that I give out to the young people. Okay. One of the first thing that I always give to the graduating full-timers, get a companion. That's the first app. I wish I can invent an app that can be fed into your iPhone on teaching you and tracking you how to get a companion. I wish I could do that, but I'm not technical, so I can't do it. But I think that's a good app. Maybe some of you can design that app. You know, you download it, and then, hey, do you have a companion? Not yet. Okay, now I got a companion. Give me his name. Okay, you write down his name. When do you guys get together? Blah, 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 blah. Then you start communicating with you. All right. You know what I'm talking about. Get a companion. That's not a joke. It's very, very practical. And, you know, when you make changes, you know, make turns, that's when you get in the accident. You know, you stay on the same lane, it's easier. You take the turn, that's when it's easy to get accident. Same thing in life. When you get married, when you have children, when you change a job, and when you change a city, then those are the times when it can get rough. Because here you have been in a church life and you have all these wonderful brothers and sisters taking care of you. Then suddenly you get to a locality where nobody takes care of you. All right? Wherever you get a turn, get a companion. That's very important. So you get out of the training, get a companion. You get out of graduate school and you start a new job, get a companion. You move to a new city, get a companion. So remember, you can't be that strong alone. Nobody can be that strong alone. You have to have companion. And the companion doesn't have to be very spiritual. It just has to be a companion, that's all. So that's app number one. Very, very usable. Very, very good if you would use it. And if you would use it, it will really, really help you. Get a companion. Always, wherever you go and whatever stage in life you are at, get a companion. And get a companion. And I used to say, if you can't get a companion to pray, at least get a companion to be a companion. But then the companion would move on to be a praying companion, and praying companion eventually becomes a gospel companion, and then eventually it moves on, and then he finds another companion. Okay, anyway, you have to get a companion. Say amen?
Amen.
Okay, another app that I give to you. Set limits. And, you know, the biggest problem was a lot of the working saints, young people, well, people in general, but young people in particular, is they don't know how to set limits. Okay, physically, doctors know. You can go beyond your limit and you don't know it. And suddenly you get sick. Because you have been going beyond your limit and you stay up for 48 hours and you thought you could do it and you it felt like you could do it, but you had gone beyond your boundary. And so when you do that, well, you reap the consequence, like Jim said. You sow to your flesh, you reap corruption. You can't avoid it. And so you have emotional stress overload. Then you said, oh, well, you know, I'm still one piece. No, you got to set boundary. Well, you have to set boundary. Number one, to your time. Number two, to your money. Number three, to your acquaintances, relationship. And then number four, to information itself. Don't think that these are small things. If you don't set your limit, the information bombards you, and then before long, you realize that you get the waters over your head. You set the limit. Now, today, nobody can control you. And you can set your own limit yourself. So you say, okay, I had a lady that said, oh, he was in some kind of therapy and helping people to have a healthy lifestyle. He said, you periodically need to go to the, not the car wash, the brain wash. You go into a place where you lock yourself up and get off all the information and just do immersive Bible reading for 2 or 3 days that washes out your brain. It's not superstition, it's real. If you do not set limit to information, and today, you know, TV is no longer the thing, it's everything there. If you don't set limit to it, it will take you over. And so that goes true for that. That goes true for money, because today the world is so smart. Satan is so smart. And the Wall Street is so smart, and bankers are so smart. They can get you to spend your money before you have the money. You know what I mean. And so before you realize it, you won't be beyond your limit. And then you come around with this long face and say, oh, I wish I could be an overcomer. Oh, I wish I could do this. Oh, I wish I could do that. But I got this ton load of debts that I have accumulated, and I couldn't help it. Well, in one sense, I say yes. In another sense, I said, really? You couldn't help it? You can't decide it? You can't control it? The car is in your hand. And I think it's because you have lost control of the brake. And you always need the brake there. And this is an advice from an old man to a young person. Exercise your brake. Don't try to overdo. Don't try to over-exercise physically. Don't try to over-exercise mentally. Don't try to over-exercise financially. Don't try to over-exercise relationship-wise. Don't try to overdo it. If you don't overdo it, you will have all the time for the church life. And one brother, I said, how's your son doing? He said, oh, he's not coming to the meeting anymore. I said, what? He was a full-timer. He said he works 60 hours a week in the law office. I said, man, if I am like your son working 60 hours a week, I would not be able to have any energy to do anything else. He said, he can't help it. I said, really? I thought about this for a long, long time. And I come to realize that a lot of the decisions is because we never know how to set boundary. And you do it before it comes your way. Because once you get trapped into it, then it's too late to change. So always have that red light up there and that says, I got to set boundary. I got to set boundary. I got to set boundary to time. I got to set boundary to finance. I got to set boundary to relationship. I got to set boundary to information. If you would do this, I mean, the sister said, days of small things, it's small. But this app works. And I think my time is up. I'll give you more app next time. Huh?
I have about 5 more minutes.
5 more minutes, I'll give you another app. And this app is making decisions. Because young people, they make decisions all the time, and they don't know how to make decisions. Well, I'll tell you one thing. The bigger the decision, the faster, the easier it is. And the reason why I'm saying this is because I saw this in Bradley. You know, Bradley, he lived in the place for over 20 years, and when he made the decision to move, he made it in one day. And when he went to Taiwan, in 1984, I went with him, and he was not going to stay in Taiwan. He was only going to be there for 2 weeks. And then suddenly, one day, he got up. He said, I pray, and then I got clear. Well, here's the thing. The biggest thing about decision-making is that you get to get rid of yourself so that you would not be deciding things based on your own choice and based on your own preference. That you need to be exercised all the time, and you need to pray. When that is taken care of, then the decision is very, very simple. Just say amen to the Lord, and that's it. And I'll say a word in particular to you, brothers and sisters who are not married. Marriage is very simple. It's not difficult at all to decide who to get married when you have dropped your preference. That's the part that you have to exercise. And you have to exercise all the time. Lord, just help me to drop my preference. Lord, help me to love you. Lord, help me. And then when you need to make that decision, it's very easy. I've seen Brother Lee making very major decisions just like that. Why? Because it's so easy. Because the Lord is there. The problem is when you have this, you have that preference, you have that priority. It's very hard, and nobody can touch you on that. The only person that can get rid of, that can deal with those priorities and obstacles is yourself. So you got to deal with them, and deal with them before they come. Deal with them before they're there. And then you dealt with them, and then you have to make your major decision. Should I take this job, or should I not take this job? Should I move or should I not move? Should I get married or should I not get married? Should I get married to this brother or that brother, or this sister or that sister? If you would be like that, living that kind of a life, decision making is very simple, and then the Lord will cover you. The Lord will take care of you. And I know why I'm talking about it. It's very, because, the young people, they said, this is a major, major, major decision. And then they back and forth, and wobbling in their mind. And it really is unnecessary, because we're the Lord's children, and we're in the Lord's hand, and the Lord loves us. And he takes care of us, and our life is in his hand. It's just that you need to take away this block of your own preference and take away that block of your own priorities. And you just say, Lord, I just give myself to you every single day and exercise. And then when the decision comes, just say a simple amen to the Lord. And you're on the way to spiritual health. Amen.
In response to the word that we've heard, why don't we take 1 minute to pray with someone sitting near you, and then we'll close the meeting. Praise the Lord, saints. Praise the Lord for his speaking to us. May he really take us on. Amen. As we go back to our localities and to our unique situations. May the Lord make us his overcomers. May he make us the ones who will pick up his commission.
Amen.
Ultimately, who will bring him back.
Amen.
Pray, well, we wouldn't delay him any longer.
Amen.
So just a couple practical points before we close. There was a sign-in sheet outside on the table. If you didn't get to sign in before you came in, please do so on the way out. And the recording of this meeting will be posted to livingtohim.com in the coming weeks. So please direct any saints who weren't able to be here in person to that site to hear this fellowship as well. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're dismissed.